Loki with the same.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
They say he wandered very far over many lands and seas. He was very shy, and there was so much sadness in his eyes. But very wise, so wise was he. Then one day, he passed my way. And while we stood and spoke of many things, fools and kings, this he said to me. The greatest thing, the greatest thing you'll ever learn is to love and be loved in
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all this. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see?
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing
voice and sing. Till I didn't ever sing. Ring with the harbor beat. Oh, little king. Let our rejoices rise high. Burning the town. Loud as the Georgia.
Everybody, it's Talk to Me Tuesday. The Jimmy Lee Underground Radio Network is officially on the air. Waiting on a few calls. I got my girl Susan checking in from Charlotte. I'm going to bring her in a second. But I'm waiting for my all-star panel to come in, and we're going to try to continue that discussion on Barbara Bird Bennett. We'll see if they check in. But in the meantime, in between time, let me pay these bills, everybody. 347-838-9825. That's 347-838-9825.
Tired, stressed out, or just need me or we time? Then Phoenix Rising, Baltimore's exclusive bed and breakfast, is the place for you. Phoenix Rising offers an unforgettable, rejuvenating experience with exquisite guest rooms. Find peace and calm in the Sedona Room or Haitian Room, or relax in front of a marble fireplace in the Serengeti Room. Call 410-462-2692 today to schedule your escape to Phoenix Rising. Visit us online at phoenixrising.com.
Do you hear that sound? Well, that's the sound of back pain. Are you tired of nagging and persistent back pain? Whether you're suffering from a chronic condition or a recent injury, don't fret. Chiropractic has proven to be a natural and holistic alternative to pain medications and surgical procedures. Visit Dr. Todd Tucker at our Water Tower location on Chicago's Magnificent Mile for a free consultation and exam. Call 888-535-2381 to get started with your personalized treatment plan. That's 888-535-2381. Call now.
When were you last on an amazing vacation? I'm Tracy Lewis, leisure travel specialist with Pogo World Travel, and I'm here to tell you that you don't have to go it alone when planning the vacation of a lifetime. So the next time you're looking for expert advice on that perfect vacation, you've got Pogo World Travel every step of the way. Visit our website at gowithpogo.com today and find out why they say, go with Pogo World Travel and discover your dream of vacation come true.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our homeownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as 20 bucks a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I'll help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
You can see my name, you come inside. The board has kind of been, dangling schools over fire by holding these community hearings, which actually are being underwritten by the Walton Family Foundation, who's, they have a lot of stake, actually, in here, a lot of skin in the game. They actually provided seed money for some charter schools next year that are opening, which is kind of interesting that we're closing schools and the board is saying these schools are underutilized, and then they're also opening charter schools, which are publicly funded, privately run schools.
By Walmart, actually, as well, which is like some seed money from Walmart, but it's actually publicly funded. After the seed money initially, it's all going to be public funding that keeps it going.
Yeah, and actually right now the charter school lobby in Illinois is trying to fix it so they get 100% of the funding that the public schools get. Now, the reason, one of the selling points of charter schools initially was the fact that you can fund them less, and then they get all these donations from these philanthropists. Which make them cheaper than regular public schools. And right now, maybe people don't have the money to throw into it like they used to. But they're going for full funding now. So there really is no benefit at all for these charter schools. But, the board has made very clear that they're closing schools. They keep repeating that there's no connection between the two, but it's really impossible to see. It's really impossible to make that distinction. Like, they're literally closing schools, kids are going to be shifted around, and charter schools are popping up. And one thing you know about the charter schools is they don't enroll students with special needs. They don't enroll students who are English language learners. So it creates another tier of education in the city, which we don't need. We actually need to have fully funded public education for all students.
Yeah, and also on your blog also report that primarily the schools that are being closed are mostly in minority areas, which I know people are shocked to hear that, but that really is where these closings are actually happening.
Actually, 9 out of 10 schools on the list are in black neighborhoods. Recently, Rahm Emanuel stated that he blames parents for some of the failing schools. He must have been actually looking at the polls. Which said, the teachers are extremely popular with the public. The teachers' union, actually, it was shown during strike, people were blaming Rahm for the teacher strike, rightfully so, and we're basically on our side. So he must have actually started reading these polls. So instead of attacking the teachers in his messaging, he said that the real problem is parents who, as he said, can't be parents, and they have too many kids, and literally from a broken home. Those were his quotes. And to me, this sounds very much like Lee Atwater-style coded language. It's like the Reagan welfare queen construct that they try to put in your head. It's racist language. And, how do you sell racist policies unless you're using sort of racist language without actually using the language itself? So
I'm going to say this right off the bat, Kenzo, this is not something that I got to say. I am a huge fan of the Chicago Teachers Union, and I got to say I am a huge fan of the fact of the way you guys are actually going about this, because so many unions across the country, when it's a Democrat who's trying to destroy them, just play nice and say, oh, no, we can't possibly attack a Democrat who's trying to destroy this. We have to be nice. But, no, it is, you're absolutely positively correct. What Rahm Emanuel is doing is absolutely racist. Karen Lewis, your head, had a quote recently talking about at a panel where she said, closing schools is a real estate plan. It's a land grab. It's gentrification. You're talking, bringing literally into what this is, which a lot of this is like the shock doctrine that is actually happening in Chicago, Illinois right now.
And people often bristle when you use the word racist because a lot of the middle tier kind of bureaucrat types and people work for nonprofits, they are not necessarily themselves bigoted. So no one wants to be called racist, but the policies themselves have a disparate impact upon black and brown people. So they just kind of keeping the status quo of these school closings and opening these segregated charter schools, they are racist policies, and it's perpetuating racism by not doing anything about them. So the only way we can really fight this racism is to actually change the way we do things, equitably fund schools, and stop just kind of handing them over to privatizers.
Absolutely. I also saw on the Chicago Teachers Union website, which is ctu.net, and I'm talking to my friend Kenzo Shibata, that you guys are actually planning for and have held trainings for nonviolent civil disobedience for the upcoming school closing fights. Tell us all about that.
Well, the school closing, it's become very apparent that the Board of Education and the people who are funding the billionaire philanthropists, they're very ideological on this. They want to privatize public education. They're kind of shirking their own responsibility for running these schools. And they want to do it. They're so intent on doing this that they're sparing no expense. They're throwing money into it. They're making decisions that are actually very bad for schools and not even necessarily bad for themselves politically to a certain extent. So, you know, at that point, what do you do? Where do you have your leverage? And we have to kind of look to the lessons we learned in, you know, during the civil rights era. And this is a civil rights issue. Arne Duncan likes to say that education is the civil rights issue of our lifetime. He's right. He's just on the wrong side of history on that. So that's where we have to go. That's kind of where they pushed us.
And so people are preparing to actually do more than just march. They're actually and more than just calling their local politicians. They're planning to do to escalate this when the closings actually start to happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. People are very protective of their schools. Schools are the hubs of communities. They're really one of the only institutions within communities where everyone has some sort of stake in it, even if your kids don't go there. You know, your neighbors go there. You know, your relatives go there. And they really could be ways of uniting the community. And by privatizing them, they're really removing the community from these schools.
Now, you see, that's the Democrats realizing that you all going to vote for me because you all love me. Y'all love me like y'all love Beyonce. There's nothing I can do wrong. Nothing. And like the gentleman was saying, they're not blaming the teachers for bad performances. They're blaming the parents as if the parents are ignorant. You see, some parents don't have no choice but to send their kids to the school that's down the street because they have no money to send their kids far away or to walk them through gang territories. What about the special needs people? Let me play a little something someone sent me, which was a press conference on the impact of school. The school proposed closings will have on the special ed students. Bear with me, man. It's kind of long. Please stay with me, Susan. And I'm going to bring you in and ask your opinion. But stay with me, Susan. Stay with me.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Wendy Catton. I am the parent director of a group called Raise Your Hand. We're a citywide parent coalition advocating for improved public education for all students. The reason we're here today is because CPS currently has roughly 6,000 children in special education on their current closing list. They have 39 schools with special education cluster programs on this list. That's where children with most profound and severe disabilities like autism and other conditions are being bused in, especially to receive services if they don't get and they haven't been able to get at their neighborhood school. We're here because Chicago Public Schools has admitted that they did not take the classroom size rates of kids in special ed into their utilization formula. Todd Babbitt, who is at the cabinet level and involved in this process, admitted this at a Chicago Education Facilities Task Force meeting 3 weeks ago. Yet nothing has happened since then. Chicago Public Schools has traumatized these families. Many of these schools are full. I have been in them. Due to having 8 to 15 children in their rooms, they are not underutilized, and they're likely going to be on this closing list tomorrow or the next day when it's released. We cannot believe that this district has shown such callous disregard for the lives of children, our most vulnerable children in this district. Additions are being put up in the mayor's ward for schools that are not even underutilized. yet these children are going to be sent packing to who knows where with no plan in sight for how their children who need routine and consistency, how they're going to have a proper education. I personally have seen CPS botch 504 plans for my own child. I know that they cannot properly transition 6,000 children with IEPs in one school year. This is a disgrace that they didn't come into these buildings and assess them properly. There is no way that they can do transition plans when they couldn't even assess these buildings properly and show these parents and children the respect they deserve. We're going to hear from parents today from, I think we have 13 schools here that are on this list, and let you hear from their perspective how they think this will impact their children. First, we're going to have from Smith School, Lashara Wilson.
I, too, have a 10-year-old son who is in fifth grade, and he has autism. He was diagnosed with autism when he was 11 months old. I'm begging public school systems not to close Smith or any school that have, where parents have children that have special needs. It's already hard enough to find schools for our children. Where are we supposed to go? I live in a district where, because of where I live, the next closest school that has an autism program, I'm not in the zone for, and the school is only 8 minutes away from my home where I live. So where am I to take my son? You can't transition autistic children. They don't take well to change. So changing them is going to create behavioral problems in the classroom and at home. It's going to make learning hard. What's going to happen to all of the specialists that are needed? You need social workers to take care of the parents. You need the teacher aides in the classroom to assist the teachers. What's going to happen when teachers are so overworked and tired that they can't tend to children anymore? This is not something that should be taken lightly. Just because a child has a disability or they're different, that does not mean that they don't deserve the opportunity to become a productive citizen like you and I. Who knows? One of our children here today could be the next Barack Obama, the next Michelle Obama. Give these children a chance. How can you do something like this? You're hurting the parents and you're hurting the children. Have a heart. Be considerate. You went to school to be a teacher. Show that you love the children. Show that you love the parents. Have some type of compassion. Care. Understand that these children are already hurting. They're already functioning in their own world. So a lot of them only have parents and their teachers to deal with on an everyday basis. Don't close our schools. It doesn't matter what race, creed, or color a child is. They deserve an opportunity for proper education. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to have Lozano School, Tammy Novak and Henry Morales next.
My daughter, Julia Novak, is a proud sixth grader at Lozano Elementary School. This is our first year at Lozano after attending three different Chicago public schools over the last 3 years. Julia is diagnosed with a physical disability, speech and language delays, cognitive delays, and an IQ that dropped from 79 to 51. She is academically functioning around a second grade level and has been for the past 2 years. Last year, at another Chicago public school, she was suspended 9 different times. This was the solution they offered to manage the anxiety she displayed from clearly being overwhelmed by a curriculum that was not meeting her academic needs. Suspending my cognitively delayed daughter academically stalled her, caused her to lose her desire to learn, and more importantly, taught her to distrust adults who were supposed to be providing her with a free and appropriate education. She could no longer stay in that inappropriate environment and was homeschooled. Julia was placed at Lozano where we have finally found the right fit. Lozano's approach has been to embrace her learning challenges, help her feel safe, adopt the adults entrusted with teaching her, and allows her to become a part of an enriched learning environment. The committee reported that Lozano is underutilized, and that is an incorrect statement based on the standards used by the appointed commission. The report states that we are only utilizing 65% of our building. In reality, we are utilizing closer to 80%. Rosanna has two autism classrooms with a maximum capacity of 13 students in each room per the district requirement. Since these rooms cannot be counted as typical home rooms, they end up adding students to our total, giving Lozano a capacity of 70%, a number that, according to CPS's own standards, removes our school from consideration for closure. Additionally, over 50% of Lozano students qualify for bilingual programs. For federal state law, we must provide services and do so with half rooms designated for English as second language services. In accordance with the Chicago Teachers Union contract, space is provided for clinician meetings, resulting in the use of another half of a room. These combined spaces result in another classroom designation by law that is not a home room. For federal state law, we must provide another room for world language, which again is not a home room. These additional two rooms add 60 more students to our enrollment, bringing our capacity to 80%. Accordingly, our capacity exceeds the requirement for closure, and this fact proves that Lozano must be removed from consideration. These facts and figures were presented to the committee at our community meeting and should be on record for the board's review. I am happy to resubmit the calculations to prove that Lozano does not qualify for closure. Finally, I would ask Dr. Bird Bennett and the board to look at a school like Lozano and see the tremendous impact it has had not only on my daughter, but on the entire student population. Our principal has been there for 2 short years, and in that time has secured a team of highly educated professionals. This has resulted in student growth, as demonstrated by the results of the NWEA. Lozano students have shown tremendous turnaround under her leadership. She has created an environment of academic pride, high expectations for each student, and an air of emotional intelligence among the staff. Her leadership should be seen as a hallmark for the free and appropriate education that not only special needs students are entitled to, but the educational standards that all students should experience. Thank you.
My son is Henry Morales Jr., and he's a fourth grader at Lozano Bilingual and International Center. At age 3, he was diagnosed with autism and has been attending Lozano for the past 4 years in the special education program. Mrs. Bina has been a teacher ever since and has helped him progress from bouts of echolalia, when words are repeated back to the teacher instead of responding to the question or instruction, to complete sentences and full-on conversation. The teacher's aides have been outstanding as well, showing patience and care every step of the way. When he first started attending Lozano, he was not interested in coloring and would scribble back and forth out of frustration. Now coloring is one of his favorite class activities. It is difficult for children with autism to adjust to new surroundings or new people. They often lack the basic social skills that we take for granted. How will our children with special needs deal with such a drastic transition? What effect will this have on the progress that they've made so far? Please don't ask our children with special needs to go through such a harrowing ordeal. Why should our children suffer due to our ineptitude to adequately solve financial problems? Thank you.
Next up is James Morgan from Trumbull.
My name is James Morgan, M-O-R-G-A-N. I'm involved at Trumbull Elementary School. I'm on the Parent Advisory Council, which is part of the federally funded No Child Left Behind. And I have a question that I'd like to ask. How do I tell the parents that they're not being left behind?
All right.
For being left behind. I'm here on behalf not only of my son, who's in fourth grade, but the 144 other special education students that make up the population of Trumbull Elementary, which is 37%. Trumbull offers a great program to our students, not only the general education, but also the special education. We have something called a vertical alignment, which means that the kids interact with each other up and down on grade level, not only with the general education, but with the special education as well. This is beneficial because it helps the children to integrate to each other. It helps them to learn from each other. My son has friends that are lower than him in grade, as well as upper in grade. So if you're going to remove him from the school and put him somewhere else, are you transforming him or are you transferring him?
All right.
The utilization that's been given to us and that we've all seen in the newspaper says that Trumbull's at 54%. That is not true. We're at 88% while meeting the guidelines of having special education students, either 7 or 14 students per room. Could you imagine a classroom with 30 students, a population that's 37%, 30 students per room? What kind of education would any student get in that environment? Next, I'd like to talk about the definition of a routine. Everybody here has routines. There's a lot of routines going on upstairs, and we all have routines in our daily lives. Our students at Trumbull have routines as well. So for you to interrupt those routines, special education has been known, has been documented through sources that when you remove a special ed or transfer a special ed student, you're setting them back by 18 months at least. So how will that help them in their routine? The next thing I'd like to talk about is trust. At Trumbull, we sent out 3,000 postcards to Barbara Burbenis, to Sarah Alderman, throughout our community. 3,000 postcards, parents, students, community members, all in Andersonville are rallying around Trumbull Elementary School. And I have one postcard that I'd like to share with everyone that came from a student. It says, "Don't close our school or else I'm going to call 911 on you." Our students are feeling threatened by CPS. And this is unacceptable. Our students deserve the best. It's not the best when we fail a plan. It's not the best when we transition our students and when we traumatize them.
Mm-hmm.
We're traumatizing not only the students, we're traumatizing the parents, we're traumatizing the staff, we're traumatizing the community. Everyone loses with these decisions that are being made. We will not stand for this outrage anymore. We need to not only keep Trumbull open, but all of our schools need to remain open to serve our students.
Much. Okay, next up is Lafayette, Thalia Pastanone.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Thalia Pastanone. I am the sister of a student that attends Lafayette Elementary School, my brother Javier Villagomez. He is in a cluster program due to his disability. He has autism. He has been attending since the age of 3 once he was diagnosed. Technically from Head Start. Now he's currently in 7th grade, and honestly with Lafayette, if it wasn't one for Lafayette School, he's a success story. From being nonverbal and overly hyperactive, he is now a well-verbal child that does not stop talking. And he is well-controlled. The teachers and staff at Lafayette have worked intensively with Javi through all the years, from Head Start to his present date, to meet his developmental milestones. Many of us that are present here today did have the pleasure in hearing his plea in front of the Fulton Network community meeting on February 26, 2013, at the First Baptist Congregational Church, where he stated, "At school, I have learned how to read, write, add, subtract, and talk a lot. So please do not close down my school." At the end of his plea, he had many in tears, and he was given a standing ovation by 700-plus people that were attending. Lafayette Elementary School has provided an outstanding curriculum and dedication to all children with special needs, from autism, fragile X, Down syndrome, 504s, emotional disorders, and learning disabilities. At Lafayette, there is a population of 400. Out of those 400. Self-actualization through the development of social, emotional, and academic skills in order to function as an informed citizen of our community. I do recall years ago when Chicago Public Schools letterhead quote was once, "Our children, our future." Then later changed to "No child left behind." Really,
No Child Left Behind. Think about it. With all these school closures, DPS is going to leave thousands of kids behind.
Yes.
Technically throwing them all out at the wolves. Keep in mind that Lafayette is the second home from home for these students, a place that is safe for them. Thank you.
Next, we're going to hear from McClellan School.
Hi, I'm a parent, mother of three CPS students. Today, I stand on behalf of my son, 11 years old, who has autism. He has already been through two school closings. He is presently a student at McClellan Elementary School, where he's thriving, he's stable, and he's doing an excellent job. I'm appalled to think that he can possibly be displaced again. I would like to ask CPS a few questions. Do you truly understand the repercussions and the major setback these actions will have for not only my son, but all of the other autistic students at McClellan? Do you realize this is a health issue, considering these special needs children with autism? They progress through repetition and stability. If you uproot them yet again, they will lose a lot of their game. They will regret. We decided that McClellan was underutilized, which was proven since that that was a miscalculation. Also, I would like to personally say percentages, numbers, figures, square footage is what our children are being compared to and measured by. Well, we as parents, we don't view our autistic children as statistics or percentages. We see our children as beautiful kids who deserve an equal opportunity and a fair chance to have a quality education. Thank you. I have an autistic son. His name is Davion. I adopted him when he was 2 years old, and I moved to the city of Chicago so he can have a better education. I urge the mayor, Barbara Burr Bennett, to stop it. My son has consistently made progress by being at George B. McClellan School. He's talking. He's potty trained. He can write his name. To remove him from his source of trust would be detrimental. It's inhumane to move special needs kids.
Right.
The parents need mental health. I have him slept because I don't know where my son will go next school year. My son functions by transitions and routines and consistency. If you remove him from his school, he would deteriorate. It would take him a whole nother year to get used to the teachers, the friends, the routine. I urge you to come. Spend a day in my house with my son. I'm urging the mayor, any commissioners, any educators, to come have dinner with me. See what I go through on a daily basis. I ask you to keep these schools open. 1 in 88 kids is diagnosed with autism. Chicago and the Chicago public schools need to support autism. If no summer programs for these kids, I look around and see all these people with saddened faces. It hurts me that my son has nowhere to go next school year. It hurts me that his routine will be crashed. It hurts me that the city of Chicago, as a taxpayer, that my son has to be shuffled around due to budget cuts. I just ask you to have compassion on kids with special needs. I ask you to look at your kids. When we look at kids that have autism, especially from 1 to 100, each kid functions differently. Each kid needs something different. So when you want to close a special needs school, I don't think you see the repercussions. It's a safety issue. The kids are used to routines. They're used to their teachers. They're used to getting on the school bus. My kid no location. He say, Mom, make a right. He know his way to school. To take him to another school, to take him out of this element, would be detrimental. It's inhumane. It's unethical. I beg you to save our school.
Okay, we're going to have Mary Moore from McNair next.
We are from McNair Academy, 4820 West Walton. You know, I have a lot of paper in my hands, but I want to talk from my heart. I have a son that has IEPD, that's what they say. But when my son first came to McNair, he was about 3 years old. He used to roll over in the floor, hide under the table, the desks. We had to look for him and everything. As he started growing up at McNair, he started changing. He started speaking. They said, they told me that my son would never talk and he would never walk and everything like that. Now, he's communicating with the people, the children. He was isolating himself because he thought he wasn't good enough to be around other children. We have at our school now 417 students at our school. 106 are disabled kids. Well, a lot of people want to know, Mary, why you want to work with special ed. That's my heart. The reason why Xavier came from rolling on the floor, hiding under desks, hiding in bathrooms. Now, this year, Xavier will be graduating with honor going to Wells. It's IEP. You know, McNair is a school of love. We have about 8 yellow buses that bring special ed with wheelchair assessments to our school. I volunteer a lot there. I am president of the LSC, but that doesn't matter about that. I see these kids, they're coming out. They'd be so happy running into our school. Coats are flying off. We're in school. They heard, I'm just like you, that our school was on the closing list. Some of them can't speak. I showed them a picture of our school, May Gold. The little boy told me, he said, my school no more. And I looked. I said, yes, we're going to do the best we can. She's going to speak next.
Let me thank Mary for filling my heart full of joy. I'm a parent of 4 adopted kids. I don't know where DCFS is at, but they should be here helping us fight for our school.
Yes.
The oldest one is 19 years old. We started off in public school at McNair when it was at the old place where the water was brown and the school was dirty and the walls were crumbling. We fought 17 years ago for McNair School. Now it's a beautiful place, and they want to take it back. I think it's unfair. We have community children who walk to school every day. I mean, they're walking there, and some of them are coming really late.
Yes.
We're not responsible for that. We just open the door and receive the kids as they come.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't walk there. So they don't have to worry about their parents getting them there. They can walk. And I'm talking about the kids that don't have parents to stand up for them.
Right.
I'm standing for them today because I see these kids in my community. My community is the Austin community where not all the parents are up to par. But once they make the school, they know they're going to get a meal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my school. My school has 417 students. 2 half-day preschool, 2 full-day kindergarten, and a special ed cluster. 97.6% are low-income families. That means that I am standing here because I work in the community and I keep 8 of those children that I take to school every day. There are special needs programs. 22.5% of the students receive special needs services. 5 low-incident cluster programs. 72 students are served. 23 students are severe and profound. Do you know what that means? For them to be around children that can actually run and jump and talk, it makes them happy. They're joyful. They see other people besides people like them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's wonderful.
Yes.
Because before I can remember, when they had the Washington school, and they closed that school because they wanted the kids to be more in the community and more involved so they could get good jobs and they would know how to act in the public.
Yes.
So now what we're going to do, are we going backwards?
Mm-hmm.
The other is a 23 cross-category special needs student. The building is handicap accessible. That means they don't have to go up the ramp. They don't have to go up the steps. They just slide in the school. The doors open and they come right in. They don't have to try to open the door. It's welcoming. It welcomes the children. I'm just going to put my paper down for a minute and talk about my own children because I fought this for 17 years ago for McNair.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm back. I'm back to fight again. I'm fighting for my neighborhood children that I watch every day go to school. I'm fighting for the parents that are not coming out to fight for their own children. I'm standing here to say, let McNair stand. Why are you destroying something that does not need to be destroyed? You see the parents here begging for some type of consideration for their children and their conditions. What is the problem? There are a lot of other things that need to be done with the Chicago Board of Education. Look at your teachers' pensions. Look at your teachers' medical stuff. Help the teachers so they can help the children. I have teachers sliding in our school right now. Could be at home because they're sick,
mm-hmm.
but they're sliding into school because of their pension
mm-hmm.
fund or because of their medical fund are not adequate. Come on now. Find something to do. Don't close our schools. Don't shut our kids out. Find something else to do. Thank you.
I'm standing here representing the parents of Ryder. As you look at the numbers for school closing, in the Englewood-Gresham area, the largest concentrations of schools are in our area. That being said, Ryder is only one of two in the Englewood-Gresham area that are optimized to receive special needs children. So if Ryder was to close, then where would the children in the Englewood-Gresham area go? Would you bus them way across town? Would you bus them to the north side? Exactly what would you do with those kids? As teachers, if you close schools with teachers that are on board, that are capable of teaching your children, then the optimized is you will put them in the teacher pool. Well, if you got a senior teacher that's near retirement and they... I've had a lot of teachers come to me and say, I am tired. You know, I don't feel like going on. I don't feel like fighting this anymore. You're taking that one teacher out that optimizes the teacher child to the best ability. So I'm asking CPS, especially the state, to come together and find a solution where we can all maintain our kids within our community, where they're best slated to be taught, where they're best slated to find safety and security. Would you want your child to be bused from one part of the town not knowing when, where, how, or what was going on with them at that certain time of day? Because that's the most perilous time of the day, moving back and forth from and to school. So I'm asking Barbara Birdman and Mary Manuel to take a look at this problem and come up with a reasonable solution, mainly keeping our schools open. Thank you.
I'm here to represent my child. He's a special needs child at Rico Fermi Elementary School. And since he came to the school, they have done a wonderful job on him. The teachers are very cooperative. They're talking to me all the time about his progress, his good and bad. And, you know, I was just looking at life, looking at the news, how just we're losing our children every day to the streets. So if they can't go to school, where would they go? We need these schools to stay open. And if you know what a special need child challenges are, you understand what I'm talking about when I tell you that he's comfortable where he are. Enrico Fermi, he's made a lot of progress there. It was at one point in child, I heard the other parents say that their children was rolling on the floor. My child was jumping off the ceiling. He was really all over the place. But they have really contained him and got him where he could actually function. So I'm begging you all, CPS, please don't close this school. Enrico Fermi, it's a great school. I see a lot of progress, and there's lots of other children with special needs there also who's being helped at the moment, you know. So we are begging you all not to close these schools. This seems like a form of bullying or something, you know, and we talk against that.
Okay. The last speaker is from Stockton School, LeVere Aldi.
Stockton is one of the schools on the Chicago Board of Education, Chicago Public, list to be closed in compliance with another school for the 2013-14 school year. Stockton School just had over $12 million of renovation done, which made the school handicapped accessible. Not only did we get a ramp, but also an elevator. Our school has many special needs children. The teachers and support staff are dedicated and very caring to our students. the death of Terry has been shown by our chief pathologist, Marilyn Sanders, who raised over $161,000 to have a smoothing room fit in the school. The smoothing room is a multi-sensory environment that helps promote communication and increase attention spans for students with special needs. This room is vital to the learning of the children. We, the parents and the school community of Stockton School, are against any school closing. What will happen to our special needs children when we combine schools? The answer to that question is the class sizes will become larger and the children will not get the special one-on-one attention that they need. If the Board of Education does this, you will only be warehousing special needs children. They are entitled to the best education we can give them. I repeat, we are against any school closing due to the effect that we have on all our communities and most importantly, our special needs students. Thank you.
Could parents comment on whether they would be happy with their kids being more integrated in another nearby neighborhood school, you know, for the cluster program? You know, maybe there's something better coming.
No.
So this is the wrong thing. Can you step up to the mic?
Yes. Autism thrives off of, autism children thrive off of repetition repeatedly, so it's the routine of getting acclimated to a whole other setting that they're not familiar with. It doesn't matter whether there's a better cluster program, it's that the whole restructure of these children will have to see a new facility, new people, new places, and it's so chaotic as a parent to the children more than likely are nonverbal. You can't get a reply from them. How's your new school? How's your new transformation? So well, you can't get that from them, so you have to basically go on their physical being. And I can tell you, just if you stop a child's routine on a daily basis with autism, he's all over the place. So a new facility is not the answer. If they're doing well and progress and where they're at, we're looking at people. We're not looking at footage and percentages and space and even under utilization. We're looking at human beings that we're trying to get healthy. Holistically.
What two schools have been closed? You said your child was...
I've come from Essex, Christopher Essex to Abbott, from Abbott to now McCullen, and in between I was at Drake for a short period with him, but there was some kind of bullying going on. So actually, this, if I put it together, it would be actually three different transformations. And that's not normal for anyone. I didn't grow up in the school. I went to school from K through 8 and from 9 to 12. It's not normal to go from school to school to school.
And I think one thing other parents who couldn't make it today is that it's not just the teacher, it's the principal, the security guard, the lunch lady. Everybody knows these kids in the building. I think CPS has the mindset you can just, transferring cattle and putting them in new building, so it's not even if the classroom teacher is moved, many principals don't have the familiarity with special needs that many of these programs have. So it's all the adults in the building.
When they get transferred, what services will they have there? There's been no plan. There's been nothing announced for us. So that's fine. If you're gonna take the students from one school and all their services and put them in another school, why don't you just leave them where they're at? That would make sense. Where's the savings when you have to transfer kids, all the equipment that they have, all their stuff? You might as well just leave it where it is.
I'd like to speak about an experience that I had. As I said before, I adopted four special needs children sometime back, 19, 18, 16, and the youngest one is 15. I did transfer them for a while to a charter school to only have them to have to write a program for them. When they came into the school, it was nothing there in place for special needs students. So I'm saying this here because with everything that's going on, I don't want parents to jump up and run and transfer their kids to schools that does not have the accommodation. I also transferred my kids to private school, Catholic school.
did not have the necessary accommodation to tell me and my son's last year, fourth year of high school, we cannot meet his needs. Well, if they couldn't meet him in the fourth year, they certainly couldn't meet him in the first year. So I'm just saying, beware. Don't run and transfer your kids to these schools unless you investigate and make sure they have the necessary program, or you'll be like that lady transferring from school to school, and it's not right.
Yeah, that was deep. That was deep, wasn't it, Susan? 347-8, I'm bringing you in a minute. 347-838-9825. Let me take a break. Man, that was something deep, wasn't it?
Was a boy. Every strange enchanted boy. Say he wandered very far, very far over land and sea. Little child, inside of our. Way. As we spoke of many things, ruled and came, this he said to me, greatest thing you could ever learn, just to be loved. Thank you.
Sound? Well, that's the sound of back pain. Are you tired of nagging and persistent back pain? Whether you're suffering from a chronic condition or a recent injury, don't fret. Chiropractic has proven to be a natural and holistic alternative to pain medications and surgical procedures. Visit Dr. Todd Tucker at our Water Tower location on Chicago's Magnificent Mile for a free consultation and exam. Call 888-535-2381 to get started with your personalized treatment plan. That's 888-535-2381. Call now.
When were you last on an amazing vacation? I'm Tracy Lewis, leisure travel specialist with Pogo World Travel, and I'm here to tell you that you don't have to go it alone when planning the vacation of a lifetime. So the next time you're looking for expert advice on that perfect vacation, you've got Pogo World Travel every step of the way. Visit our website at gowithpogo.com today and find out why they say, go with Pogo World Travel and discover your dream of vacation come true.
Got your black coffee at the Jazz Cafe. Got your mocha at the Jazz Cafe. Got your latte at the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. Got your black coffee at the Jazz Cafe. Got your mocha at the Jazz Cafe. Got your latte at the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. The Jazz Cafe is one of the main distributors of the Organo Gold Coffee. It gives natural energy delivered right to your doorstep. If you want to order your coffee today, contact Shauna at 601-918-2079 or go to 601jazzcafe.organogold.com. Got your black coffee at the Jazz Cafe. Got your mocha at the Jazz Cafe. Got your latte at the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. Got your black coffee at the Jazz Cafe. Got your mocha at the Jazz Cafe. Got your latte at the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe. At the Jazz Cafe.
Tired, stressed out, or just need me or we time? Then Phoenix Rising, Baltimore's exclusive bed and breakfast, is the place for you. Phoenix Rising offers an unforgettable, rejuvenating experience with exquisite guest rooms. Find peace and calm in the Sedona Room or Haitian Room, or relax in front of a marble fireplace in the Serengeti Room. Call 410-462-2692 today to schedule your escape to Phoenix Rising. Visit us online at phoenixrising.com.
347-838-9825. Hold on, Booker. Hold on, lovely Susan from North Cackalacka. Let me just bring one more little clip in, and then I'm seeing what my man Booker got to say.
It's one of the largest mass school shutdowns in U.S. history. Outrage in Chicago tonight over the city's plan to shut down more than 50 schools. It's part of an ongoing effort to close a billion-dollar budget deficit. The head of the school system says too many students have been cheated out of resources, and the consolidation process will get them into higher-performing schools. But many parents aren't buying it. And the president of the Chicago Teachers Union says the closures disproportionately affect African-American students. She chastised Mayor Rahm Emanuel for going on vacation as a list of final closures was released.
This policy is racist, it's classist, and we have to continue to say that our mayor, who's away on a ski trip, dropped this information right before spring break. How are our children going to spend next week?
According to the Chicago Tribune, the closures will save the district at least $560 million over 10 years, but will cost $233 million to implement. The changes will affect 30,000 students.
What up, Booker? What do you have to say, Booker?
Chicago, hanging up. There's a lot going on in the city of Chicago. New mayor. I was just watching on CNN. A lot of people are outraged at these schools being shut down and stuff like that. What you need to do, you need to be able to adapt and remain persistent. Get your kids in the right school, the right situation. Something going on below the surface. It's something real that's going on. They're not going to close none of them schools in the suburbs. They're not going to close anything else except the heart of Chicago. It's so many changes going on in Chicago that I haven't been to Chicago in 6 years. I made it my duty, obligation. It was imperative that I left Chicago. I went to Morgan Park High School. My middle school been shut down. I went to McCorkle Middle School, 43rd State Street, 44th State Street. They shut that middle school down. So I know what it feels like. But like I said, I went to Morgan Park, and I said I wasn't going to return to Chicago without a college degree until I was established, until I can try to do something. There's just so much going on. I'm not going to speak on all the recent shootings. Well, I am going to speak on the recent shootings. The thing about that is this. It's a lot of gang territory that's actually shifted. It takes years and years and years for that stuff to pan out. Maybe 7 more years, 10 more years for those gang turfs to actually get structured out to where they need to be, where you might see some peace in the streets. But it won't be no peace, because Black people really can't get back. Top 8 metros, top 10 metros, Baltimore, Miami, New York, South Central, down to Dallas, St. Louis. Black folks is materialistic, number one. Number two, the gang bang. My side, and we can say, look, we're going to put our guns down right now. The other side is going to say, look, we don't know if they put their guns down. Plus, there's so much crack money on the line that money on the line every night, every day. I'm always going through like mug shots, seeing who got locked up in the county jail for what, doing what. A lot of stupid shit. I'm going to put a link right here of pretty much, I look at this little link. If you click this link right here, it shows you every week who got locked up for what. And it's a lot of petty shit, a lot of young people. Back to these middle schools, be ready to uproot your kids, because the list haven't came out. They don't know if they got bus systems for this type of stuff. And then you dealing with, you don't know what age groups is tricky, because you can't bus kids from Aldell Garden with kids from 79th and Wentworth, or kids from 63rd and King Drive with kids from 63rd and Sacramento. So this is tricky. Nobody acts like they actually knows what's going on, but I know what's going on. We killing each other off emotionally, mentally, physically. Families are dissolving. There's no family. There's no peace. It's constant uproot, unrest. And it's the state of it's the state of nature in Chicago. It's nasty and it's brutish.
Yeah, and what else?
Nobody is running out.
I hear you. Okay.
So what we going to need to do, get refocused as parents, get refocused as citizens of Chicago, outside of Chicago, refocus your talents.
Aye.
Like I told you, I just graduated with a degree in political science, but I'm still trying to refocus and get my mental where my mental needs to be. Why don't I go, since I've actually applied myself mentally and I've studied for years, political science. Now it may be time to get a trade in construction management, stuff that I don't know about, how to build a house. That may be what I need to do. Become a real estate broker at the same time. Make some investments with you, people in my network and people in your network. Bring money together to try to make the changes that need to be made. Let's talk about this stuff. We can't be scared to discuss the outer years, where we want to be, where we're going, and where we've been.
Yeah, get the 1390 click plan. I feel your book.
Talk to me, Chicago. What do we need to do?
All right, Book. Get that other spot. All right, Book. I feel you, though, man. I feel you.
Your thoughts on the school closings? Go ahead.
Yeah, I do agree with it. My kids go to Chalmers, and they're supposed to be one of the closer schools over here on California and Roosevelt, but I just don't feel like they're learning anything or the school is effective at all. So I'm for the schools closing as long as they're not producing anything. There's no need for it.
Okay.
You don't have a problem with your kids supposedly going to a better school?
No, I've been trying to get them in a better school. It's just that our school, that school is right down the street, so that's why they go there. But they need to be in a better school. That, since they moved from the school they was at in Maywood to this school, their grades have dropped, and the communication with the teachers is a lot less. They really not doing much over there.
All right, thanks a lot. Now, so we're talking about the closing of 54 schools. They came up with a list on yesterday. They're not going to close any high schools. They're all grade schools because they said that they felt as if it would be a greater danger touching some of these high schools. A lot of parents are upset. You need to get today's Sun-Times. If you get today's Sun-Times, you get to hear everybody's opinion. Everybody has an opinion, and you get to read all the different scopes that there are out there. But 54 schools have come out. Some of them are being changed. The schools will remain the same, but it'll be all new staff.
Okay.
They're saying that some of these schools are underutilized. They're not full. A lot of people are leaving certain communities, so the kids aren't there. A lot of people now, y'all need to hear this, are moving to the suburbs for their children.
Mm-hmm. For school.
They're moving to the suburbs for their children. So
we hear it all the time in the morning.
Right.
All the time.
Yep. So 312-591-3878, what are your thoughts, your concerns when it comes to 54 schools being closed?
Yes. A lot of people talk about displaced kids in the gang territory, which is definitely a concern. But also a lot of our students of color receive mental, emotional health services from outside agencies, and those agencies will not transfer into those new areas. So we'll have a large number of students with special needs who may not get the services that they need. And then so when you close two schools in my area, then that means...
Thank you. It's the older men, it's exploding after so long from holding in. Pain stains the heart till you can't smile. And Vietnam ain't got nothing on Fink with an 8 mile. It's enough to make your bones quiver. I'm surprised they ain't put battleships in the Detroit River. This ain't living, this is hell. People feel like they living in a prison, no different than a cell. Cause they scared to walk the streets they dwell, wondering if they gonna be another innocent kill. Cause cats lost consciousness, they killing that will. Whatever happened to the love revealed? Let's bring it back,
My part of town, welcome my part of town. It's similar to Vietnam.
You don't know.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our homeownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as 20 bucks a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I'll help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
347-838-9825. Well, I thought I was going to have my girl Tara. I held out for you, Tara. You know. I thought I was going to have my girl Chandra. Even my girl Myra from Cleveland was going to call in. I thought I was going to really have the triangular effect on Barbara Bird Bennett. It's so difficult to say that name without getting tongue-tied. Barbara Bird Bennett. Because the word Barbara is funny anyway. Barbara Bird Bennett. She thought that was hit probably back in the day. But anyway, I tried to give you a couple of views, but left and right and center. We lost Toby. He's about to call. We lost Toby. And my man Booker came in there. I'm going to bring my girl Charlotte. Susan in from Charlotte. I'm about to say Charlotte in from Susan in. And see if she has anything to say. I ain't trying to front on you now. I'm going to bring you in. I ain't trying to front now. I'm going to bring you in now. What's going on, Susan? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
All right. I can't complain. But what do you think about the little extras that I was playing? Do you have any comments you'd like to share with our audience about what I've played so far?
Well, I could hear the compassion and the heartfelt passion, the desire and the love and intensity of each parent, you know, for their child, especially for those that have special needs. It's really heartfelt. The testimonies that I was hearing about, you know, their children's progress at the schools that they are attending, and also, too, the fact of what it will do and how far it will set them back if we just stop them or just their education just ends all of a sudden so abruptly. And one of the parents was very keyed when she said that, it was a man, when he was talking about his child and the voices and the noise that his child was making. And he was saying that when his child was attending this particular school, that type of behavior ceased. And he's just afraid that, you know, if he's uprooted and have to go to another school, that type of behavior will return and then some. You know, wherever he was attending, the teacher, you know, was able to get him under control, having him in a contained classroom, which is what special ed is. And I agree with that because I have a teacher friend who teaches special ed, and she and I talk on a regular basis, and she tells me about the students in her class and the fact that they have to be, you know, in a contained classroom. Autistic, you know, those that are mentally challenged, physically challenged, emotionally challenged, academically challenged, you know, they have to be in contained classrooms and behaviors have to be monitored, but there's a certain way that you have to interact with special needs children, and not everyone is gifted to be able to do so. And so to have charter schools to come into an area or to replace the schools that they have in place currently without any thought of the special ed need, of special needs children, I think that's deplorable to have a charter school or charter schools, should I say, in place and you don't have special ed needs for children. I think that's just wrong, period. Because they are a part of society, too. And one parent, I think it was the very first parent, she was the most compassionate. I think she had everyone up out of their seat and applauded her. And I, too, was here applauding her. She was very, very passionate about her child going to another school and the fact that the mayor said that it's the parents' fault that these schools are closing in minority areas. I agree with her. I think that's racist to make statements like that. How would you blame the parent? Why would you blame the parent? That makes no sense to me at all. And so I was sitting here and I was jotting down some questions about what I was going to ask if I was given the opportunity. And one of the questions that I wanted to ask is these 129 schools that are closed in these minority communities, why are they allowing these schools to close in these communities?
There are 54 schools that they're closing.
Oh, 54, I'm sorry.
That was a number that they started off with. And
okay.
They said 300, and they whittled it down to 54. But some people say that, like if you heard that some of those buildings had so much money poured into them, and some people said private companies or the charter people want those buildings, and, you know, to get the money to put their people inside those buildings and move the other people out. The word they used to use were low-performing schools, which means schools kids were not smart. But now the key word is underutilized schools, because some of those low-performing schools get out the low-performing list and start testing well. You see, the key word underutilized is what they are using. But some of those underutilized schools don't have like a library and a room, and one of those rooms can be turned into a library. They don't have a music department or a band. One of those rooms can be turned into a band. They don't have a science department. You see, it's not that you need kids in those classrooms. It's that you can use those money, those dollars, those tax dollars well to provide the services that those schools needed. You see, the schools were for years deprived of services, and by them being minority, not to sound racist or anything, they when I was in school, they were saying that you need more black male teachers, need more black male teachers. So a lot of black men were going into the education field because of that call, because they said black males need to be educated by black men. But here in Chicago public school system, there's 14% minority, and the rest of the people are 1% are male. And by that being the cause, 1% being male, it's one of the reasons why. I'm sorry, that's one of the reasons why. That the schools are performing low. And so the schools start performing low, they use that as a reason why to put the schools on the list. And by that happening, that's where we are right now.
Well, why would they have schools not – well, I'm sorry, that's the wrong type of question I want to ask. Why would you have a school running that does not have a library? That makes no sense to me.
Well, because of cutbacks. Budget cutbacks. There's no gym. Some schools, like there's a school called Overton. They better shut Overton down and merge the kids with Mollison. Now, like I said yesterday, I graduated from Mollison, but Overton has everything. They have a gym room and an auditorium. And more schools in the public schools area, their gym room is an auditorium. They have a library and a lunchroom. Most kids have a lunchroom. You know, the library is their lunchroom. So because of cutbacks and not paying attention or not allowing the funds to go to the proper spots, like some charter schools are getting some of the dollars that go to the public schools area, and they are then allocated dollars which go to public school will go to a charter schools. And then that tends to cut the funds and stuff like that.
Okay. If you have money that's going to the charter schools that's supposed to be for the public schools, why is that? Why are these communities not standing up? I mean, I don't understand why they are allowing this to happen. Why are people in those communities not coming together to create some type of forum? You know, back in the day when, you know, Martin Luther King used to have marches and stuff like that. Why are they not standing up and say, hey, this is wrong? The money that's going to these charter schools, you know, should be going to the public schools. If you're going to put all these things in a charter school,
What happened is, this is me getting on my high horse, and I should have brought you in earlier. My screen said you wasn't ready to talk at the time, so I ran the clip in. But the deal was this, that they're the politician that sold the people out. See, by them being Democrats, they feel that whatever we say goes. Now, there's a not to be xenophobe or anything like that. There's an organization called UNO, which is an Hispanic organization, and they got like, how much, Ebony? $90 million to open some charter schools for their people. Now, that's $90 million of the taxpayer dollars for them to separate themselves and get better quality schools. Now, that was the black legislators, that was the black congressmen, and the black commissioners. Now, they looked at that as being open-minded and diverse, but not realizing it's draining resources from their community to give to another community. And now what has happened is that people have woken up and realized that they've been asleep so long. Like I was saying earlier, that they're downtown protesting, like, don't close our school, don't close our schools, when these aldermen had hid behind the mayor and signed off on the school closing. That's what I'm trying to tell my listeners in the Chicagoland area and those union teachers that's out there protesting tomorrow, take it to the alderman's office, because they have not felt the heat, they have not felt the pressure to be shown dissatisfaction in the this. I mean, that these politicians feel that because we have a Democratic mayor, Rahm Emanuel, and y'all all love Rahm Emanuel because y'all all love Barack Obama. If he said it, it goes, because he's tough and he means it. And so people tried to give him the benefit of the doubt while he was sitting there closing his schools and smiling their hands. And now that you heard the parents of disabled parents, now you're not seeing the clip. Majority of those people were Hispanics, you heard, and whites. It's about four black passionate women that spoke out there because, like she said earlier, they're looking at the numbers and not the people as individuals, not knowing someone that is autistic cannot be placed from one place to another without without going off, you know, period, because it would not only serve dissatisfaction to that child,
right,
but the others around him that are used to being in a certain environment.
Correct.
And not tell the principal not being able to handle it. You know, some people don't have patience, not the right patience to deal with disabled people. It takes a long time for that handicapped person to get used to that person that's trying to educate them. You know, people need to take that consideration. But they think Negroes are not prepared to fight like we really are prepared to fight. And that's what's going to go on now. And I hope that the people out here hearing me, that the fight should be at these elected officials right now. Tell them that you're no longer going to take it, that you don't want to be sitting here voices not being heard. You have politicians saying, well, I started off with 12. I'm satisfied to have six schools closing. And you have other people saying, getting two. Lady, you got six. You didn't fight hard enough to get two. Evidently, they fought hard enough to get two. But you have people that are in the pockets of the mayor. You have the media that are in the pockets of the mayor. You have the radio stations, black radio stations, that are in the pockets of the mayor, just to say, I know Rahm Emanuel, hoping that I can get an insight or invite to see the president. And that is what's going on here in the city. And now they're realizing that there's nothing they can do, you know, Susan, like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I should have brought you in earlier if I played all those clips, but that last clip I played with the parents at that press conference, I had to get that in because I want everybody to hear the passion and the outcry of the special needs students and what they might be going through, you know. And this has to be a fight. That's one. Like I said, I'm a Republican. I'm with vouchers. I wish blacks start their own school system so we can educate our own and we can have a better way of determining our own leaders. We can't put it in the hands of others, especially in the school system where only 14% teachers are black and out of that 1% are African-American. But that's the hand that we're playing with. You got black parents fighting to make sure the white middle class stay in existence. Well, I'm not tripping. That's how it is now, because we need better service in our school. But, you know, it's a tight sword and it's a tight balancing act that we're trying to handle here in the city, because we're not trying to let our city become another Detroit or another Philadelphia or another New Jersey. We're a first-class city here in the shop, but it's one of those things, Susan. You know what I'm saying?
I understand.
That's it.
And
like
I agree
that.
With you as far as starting your own school. I agree with you with 100% with that, because why can't we start our own school?
We can right now. They have the needs and facility. The deal is called vouchers. Vouchers is such an ugly word for the African-American community, because they feel that we want the government to give us our school system with over the time of us being here as indentured servants or sons and daughters of slaves. We have not got our raw end of education. It was against the law for a black person to read. So you think they're going to all of a sudden teach us ought to read and try to be leaders of this country. No. But right now we have a right time to get separate but equal through the form of vouchers, but people are looking at it as funny. So I'm looking at, if you're arguing, people in Chicago, are you arguing math that your tax dollars are going to these charter schools, then say, give me your tax dollars and we open our own schools. That's the only way you can hurt the people, if you take the money from those people, and then they will listen to you. But listen here, Susan, I got 3 minutes, and I wish I'd have brought you in earlier, but I was playing all those clips and stuff like that, but I am on tomorrow. But listen, from Miss North Carolina, what's the weather like down there?
It's cold. Believe it or not, it's supposed to be spring on the calendar, but the weather's not cooperating.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. It's not cooperating nowhere, because we had a snowstorm that just missed everywhere. I took my son down to Central State University to go back to school, and I passed the storm in Indianapolis. I passed it. I caught it in Ohio. I didn't catch it driving. I caught it when I posted up. Then I came back from Ohio snowstorm, Indiana snowstorm. As soon as I got to, like, Lake County outside of Gary, Indiana, it was just dry. It's we getting the weather, the coldness, but we ain't had no snow yet. But I knew the tornado and hurricane, everything is blowing down that way. I was just wondering how your weather was like going on down there. But anyway, you can feel free to go in there and call me tomorrow, because I'm hoping I can get that thing together, because today I was trying to go some old end-of-the-world prophecy, New Age prophecy stuff, but I thought I had a hot topic because this school stuff is kind of hot, but I thought I was going to have my experts on, but maybe I might have them on tomorrow. So is there anything you'd like to say to my audience before I let you go, Miss Susan from North Kakalaka?
Well, I just wanted to say that I really enjoyed listening to the clips, and I can feel the compassion from the parents, and I really feel that closing those schools will be an injustice to the special ed kids, and I hope that something can be worked out to prevent that from happening.
Well, that's cool. We got what's going on Wednesday. Anything coming? Anybody tomorrow? Well, we'll see. Just tune in tomorrow on New Music Thursday. I appreciate you checking us out, Susan. Make sure you stay on Jimmy's Underground Radio Network. Good night, everybody. May your God be with you.
Very far, very far, over land and sea. A little shy. But very wise. What? And then one day, a magic day my way. And while we spoke of many things, this he said to me, the great thing you ever learned. Just love and be loved in return. Sometimes I get a little lonely, and sometimes I get a little blue. The greatest thing is just to love, be loved in return.